The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
As the expectation in these 30 days is that the Lord will give you divinely granted ideas. Ideas that come from God. Put it in expectation. There will be business ideas that will be bettered in this meeting. Some of you, ideas on how to do things differently. Because again, I'm seeing people at crossroads. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you an idea. It will be the ministration of supernatural wisdom. By the time we get there, you will find out that is also part of what we have in the life of God. But begin to trust God. In these 30 days and the remaining days of these 30 days, you will have ideas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You will have a different idea on how to do the same thing. And you will get a different result. Yes. I heard the Lord say that. Five ways of doing the same thing. Five ways of doing the same thing. You've tried it in one way, it did not work. It will come like an idea. It will come like an idea. But it will be God whispering to your ears. You will see what to do. You will know what to do. You will see the path that you must walk. In the name of Jesus. And those ideas are dropping. I said, those ideas are dropping. Those ideas are dropping. And if I continue, let me just give this correction. I like the fact that so many of us are writing things when they are spoken, and that's good. But listen, the Lord said I should say, it's been in my heart since 3 days ago. Receive things before you write them. It's not what you write that will work, it's what you received. And how you receive things is with your tongue. Some of us ignore to receive. We just taking notes. No. Receive things before you write them. You don't receive by writing. You receive by speaking. And then you write to remember what you've received. I got what I'm saying? So if I say this is going to happen, or if the Lord speaks to you, maybe you're praying, God just speaks to you. Before you begin to rejoice and begin, so before you begin to write, receive it well. Rejoice, celebrate, speak it, declare it. Then pen it down. It's not what you wrote down. It's actually what you received. So when we say things like that, come with your receptivity, with your tongue to receive. Right? So that you can now document. I've told you, even the scriptures, you have first spoken before they were written. Yes. So it's when you speak for things, then you pen them down. Are you getting the point? So just learn that. Hallelujah. Throughout this, we've just learned that, and even beyond in your life. God is doing new things. Amen. Ideas being ministered. Amen. So if you're at a point in your life where you don't know what to do, God will give you solutions, ideas in your head. I've been there at different times. I just want thoughts. Some of you to just be, you just come like a thought. And I was just thinking, and that's how it will come. I was just thinking. Somebody might just say something and the thought will rise in your heart. That's why you've got to be sensitive because it's going to come. Are you following the point? You might just be scrolling on Facebook and something will just rise in your heart. But I can do this like this. You know, my spiritual mom shared a story with us in this last meeting we went to. You know, I've told you guys she ran a business, a big business. She used to have, she used to make muffin cakes. Muffin cakes. You know, muffin. All those. So what happened was she, when she had their first son, he was a very picky eater. So he doesn't want to eat many things. So she was just researching. How is this boy going to start eating more? I mean, eating better, eating healthy. So she was starting things that are sweet and are still very healthy. And all of that. And then she came across these muffin cakes. You know, add fruits and all of that. Very healthy stuff. So she learned how to make it. And I'm just saying, some of these ideas can come in many ways. I began to, you know, feed the family, and they were just eating it. So one day, her driver just came. And, you know, after working for them for the day, they just gave the driver. And he ate it. I was like, ah, this is sweet. I want to buy. She said, it's not for sale. So I want to buy. She said, okay, if it's not for sale, give me to give my wife and children. And then she gave him. He said, when then he left, the Holy Ghost said, he wants to buy. It means others want to buy. That thing grew into a business, multi-million. Seriously. In less than how many months, they bought a car from that business. COVID year was the blow for the business. Because of COVID, everybody was trying to eat healthy. And she said that day she was going to make, how is that in COVID year? She was going to make a post. She has already made the post to post. Normal post she makes on Instagram. And then the Holy Ghost said, delete that, whatever that, use this particular caption. I should just use that caption. Something like about eat healthy, eat this, eat muffin. Said every day, people began to take it as though it was vaccine. Like I said, millions. It can come like a casual thought. That's why you've got to be sensitive to know where you're not thinking. When is the Holy Ghost putting ideas in your head? In this death, it will happen a lot. So happen a lot. How to expand the business, how to take it to the next level, how to get that out of the way. And you know, there's a ministration that she ministered in, and it's coming strong in my mind. Some of you, the story I just told, was when she told the story, a flow opened up in that meeting, and I just feel that same flow opening up. Because many of you, that there are things you've been doing casually on your own for yourself and your family. But with this story, God is putting to you that this can actually be a business. Yes. This you've just been doing casually, you can just do it. And you do it, people just like it. And it just comes into your mind that you can actually turn this to a business. If there's somebody like that, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Just come into that. You can actually turn this to a business. Raise your hand and come. Because we want to put the hand of God upon that stuff. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've been doing it casually, but suddenly it just came to you that this people can actually benefit from this. You can actually find a way to monetize this. Stay out here. Pray for two minutes. I'm going to put my hands on you, and it will be a meditation of divine wisdom. And many businesses are coming out from this particular story, from this particular moment. Many businesses will spring forth from this moment. This you've just been doing for yourself, and people just like it. But as we just told this story, it just came to you that, oh, this can actually be a business. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wisdom of God. That wisdom of God. Yes. That wisdom of God. That wisdom that comes from God. Yes. That wisdom that comes from God, that wisdom that the Holy God offers. Yes. That wisdom that comes from Him. That wisdom. We bet the business. That wisdom from God, that wisdom from Him. Take 3 minutes, just pray. Come on. Jala dera kade soda la badea, pele don prade shinde le korandia, pradish kade la friendosh kata la bayandash. That wisdom that comes from God. From God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That wisdom that comes from God. Shale cambra de sobre te anda. Jekele prendo shkila te ande rokotea. Out from this, as so many of that will take this invitation seriously, between now and December, something would have come out from this. Ideas are being given. Ideas are being given. You know, there are some of you, never occurred to you that nothing could be a business, but now it's so strong in your heart. As I'm speaking, I'm seeing some of you, you are even seeing how many ways you can turn that to a business. And people have been crying. One of the people I laid hands on here, the Lord said I should say, I just didn't tell the person directly so that I can tell all of you to hear it. There are words like that where I'm permitted to do that. The Lord said I should say, stop thinking that, oh, everything is fine. Do I even need to add this? You're a young man. You're a young woman. Use your strength. Use your strength. If another source opens up, use it. If you don't need it, God will not put the idea in your head. Stop saying everything is fine. Do I even need to? Use it. Use it. And it's done. We welcome those businesses into the blessing now. We receive them into the blessing. More ideas are going to flow. Not at any time will you ever be out of ideas. You will know what to do. You will know how to do it. You will see the path that you must walk. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I'm enjoying ideas. Come on, I'm enjoying divine ideas. Supernatural ideas. Supernatural ideas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A day is going to come in this meeting when I'm going to teach along these lines. But the Lord said I should bring the impartation now. For one reason, I should talk about it so that you can begin to put it in your plan. In your expectation list, because God will drop ideas into your head. Some of you say, oh, I was just thinking. It's not you just thinking. So every time we say prayer for expectation, put this one in. I'm receiving ideas. If you're at a point in your life where you're at a crossroad, there are ideas to break out of that place. A believer is never without help. And one of the ways God helps us is to put thoughts in our head. The Bible says concerning Moses in Acts chapter 7, that when he was come of age, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. It came into his heart. That's Acts 7. Now, the Bible didn't actually say God told him. It just came into, but it was God that told him. But I love how the Bible put it. I love how Stephen recorded Acts chapter 7. He said it came into his heart. And I feel like it was recorded that simple. So you know that it's not like Moses was praying and he began to hear a voice saying, my son, this time carry your Bible. Sometimes it will just come into your heart. And that casual thought, in quotes, that came into his heart to visit his brethren became his destiny for life. I get what I'm talking about. It became his destiny for life. Just in quotes, a casual thought. But when he was full 40 years, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. He just came. He just dropped his thought. Let me just go and see how these guys are doing. And wow, he got there. He saw somebody beating the other person. It just came to his heart. So if you can just be your heart, it's just coming to your heart to go and see what they're doing in that construction site. Immediately you stand there, ideas will begin to flow. That's why a believer with a, I don't know why God is putting this in my heart. A believer that has trained his spirit, that has trained his heart very well, should not be careless with thoughts that fly into his head. Yes. Because when you train your mind very well with God's word, you don't just think casually. If any thought that you don't know where it is coming from flies to your head, take it seriously. I've mastered what I'm saying. Now, not when you are buried in carnality, when you've trained your spirit man. Yo, I said, what do you mean by that? We're going to look at that very shortly. When you pray, Lord, fast. In seasons where you pray, fast, and read God's word a lot, like this season, don't think that the things coming to your head are casual. No, it's not. This season, you're just hearing God's word every day, reading it every day, praying 3-4 times in a day, be careful. Those thoughts coming will not be casual. That is, as I'm ministering to you, and anything that just drops in my heart, I know where it's coming from. I know where it's coming from. But many of you have received your answer. You've received your, just that you don't know. You feel, I was just thinking. Why were you not thinking before now? Why didn't you think it before now? Why didn't you think it before you started praying? Why is it after you prayed that it came? You know, many of you have, your life have changed by virtue of a casual thought that came into your heart some years ago. And it became everything. Mark your seasons. Mark when you are spiritually very sensitive. If a thought comes, it's not casual. It's not casual. Are you following me? It's not casual. It might be the answer to what you are looking for. I've seen the great men do things just like Moses, like this. It came into his heart. So if you had asked Moses, why are you going to, I just feel like wasting. How was the prince of Egypt going to do with slaves? Well, I just want to get there. It just in my heart, just let me just go and see how they're doing. Then he got there. He collided with his destiny. He said, one of the biggest owners of a shoe company or a shoe factory, whatever, what they call it, is a shoe fabric, one of the biggest shoe producers in the world. How did he start producing shoes? He went with his friend to a holiday. Some of you have heard this story. My brother used to tell this story a lot. They went to a far country. You know, they were rich, or at least they were elites. So they just felt, let's go to one village. You know, holiday during high school. Let's go to a village, an interior place, just to feel nature. So when he got into that place, he saw all the guys there, all of them were barefooted. They went to a very interior part of India. And his friend was just taking picture. Then he began to think of, because he found that they don't have shoes because they can't afford it. He went back to America. He dropped out of school, I'm telling you. Began to make rubber shoes to move down to India, because if they were cheap, the people latched on them. From there, one of the biggest shoe producers in the world today, I don't want to call the name, one of the biggest, you know. But that was the story. It came into his heart. Are you following what I'm saying now? Don't joke with things that just come into your heart, especially in certain seasons of your life. But I've told you, when I taught you on the raging warfare, once I told you is, 90% of your thoughts are not from you. Remember that teaching? Some of your thoughts are from the devil. The devil throws thoughts at people. Can I also say, some of your thoughts are from God. God also, you know, the same way you receive evil thoughts, when you receive good thoughts from God. Yes. Also, I was just thinking, most times you are not the one thinking. The same way Satan throws thoughts at people, God does the same. It just drops in your heart. It's because you are not well trained. That's why you say, I was just thinking. By the time you are well trained, you can say, God spoke to me. I get to the point. So I'm just speaking because you are at different levels. When it comes to your heart like that, please take it seriously. I've seen, I don't want to tell stories, I've seen people's life change overnight because of something that just came into their heart. Just go try this thing out. And you just get there. Wow. From there to something else. To something else, to something else, to something else, till it becomes something big. You will not miss out on ideas. You always know what to do. Tell me, I'm wise in the wisdom of God. Do you remember that declaration? Say, I'm wise in the wisdom of God. I'm never without ideas. I always know what to do. I always know the step to take. I always know the path that I must walk. I don't need to tell everybody in all the centers, if you came out of this ministration also, when I made that call, it's working on you too. And let me say to people following online, especially centers that are streaming this meeting, I've said this many times, when I make calls like that, come out in front of the stage too. If you're in your house, stand up and take a step forward. The anointing respects that obedience. God said, I'm not in Enugu. The same body that you see, come out. You sit back. Walk out. Yeah, because there's in that obedience, there you have your answer. So walk out.
So even if I don't lay hands on everybody, once I begin that laying on of hands, you will see that many of that are sensitive will start going under the anointing in those places, whether I touch you or not. It's just by just the way the anointing works. When I was teaching at LMP, I referred to this story. Remember, I thought along these lines. There were 70 men that Moses picked. 70 men that Moses picked that were going to be anointed to prophesy. But come on, there were two that didn't come to the camp that day. Their name was Eldad and Medad. But yet, when the Spirit was released, they also prophesied where they were, because they were connected to the meeting. Are you following me, friends? So if you're following online, stay connected. Stay connected. Because this flow, I'm not saying it's also getting to you. It is where you are. It's where you are. Hallelujah. So in a couple of weeks and months, we'll be celebrating the birth of many businesses. And they will not be normal. You know why they are not normal businesses? Because they were birthed under the anointing. Many businesses, they were better under the anointing. They will have supernatural speed. In the name of Jesus. Shout a big amen. When the day comes, I'm going to pray for every business here that is still budding, that is even struggling, that is thinking of how to find. You know, there are some of you that after this meeting or somewhere in this meeting, you're going to reawaken your business that was dead. This habit of starting and stopping things is not the life of God. I'm going to show you. It's weakness. And God doesn't support weakness. It's the spirit of weakness that makes people start things, and when things become tough, they stop it. It's weakness. I get what I'm saying. It's weakness. Every man that's ever started anything, must hit the rock at one point. The people that eventually become great are people who keep going after they hit the rock. But maybe when they hit the rock, they stop. Oh, so the place where we are using, the landlord said we should get out. And so? That's how you stopped your business. Like, that was enough. You really never had any conviction. People who work with me here that have started business on time, whenever you come to me say you want to start a business, I always send you back. Well, I have a principle. If you start anything under my watch, you cannot stop it all. I don't believe in weakness. Just come and say, I want to start something. Then after 2 months, they say, sir, something just came up. We just came out that day. 3 days, nobody bought anything. So me, I even thought about it that this is not even selling. I don't do things like that. God doesn't do things like that. Except you're not sure. And the problem is that some of them come and tell you God inspired them. So God inspired you, and problem uninspired you. Challenges. So God led you. Challenges. I've been misled you, I've been unled you. If you are sure that the Lord led you, you stick to it. Yes, stick to it. That's actually the spirit. That's the spirit. You stick to it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You stick to it. Because people are looking for capital. Most times, money flows in the direction of activity. So most times, when you are sticking to it, that capital will come. I don't even know what the limit of all this talk this evening. Or somebody needs to hear it. So you are sticking to it that the capital will come. So just be doing something. I found out something. People, things don't just happen to people. Great men go for things and they take it. So when things are tough, take it. You know, I this is actually a big deviation from what I want to say today. But let me just say this to you. I was listening to an interview. It shocked me because, man, I used to think a lot of people don't actually make it because they just want life to come to them. When God puts an idea in your head, please pursue it. There was an interview, it's not even a church thing. You know. I'm a footballer. I'm a football fan. Austin Jejo Kocha. You know Jejo Kocha? I used to think that, you know, he was in Enugu here. He was in Nike Grammar School here. Playing. So I used to think they came to scout him. And they picked him. But then I heard this stuff. He said nobody scouted him. Nobody. So they had an elder brother who was playing for the national team then. And the elder brother was invited to Germany to come and try, to come and do trial. You know this, you know, a third division team to come and do trial. And for some reason, the elder brother could not go. So he gathered money and went. Uninvited, go to the team, told them, you called my elder brother. He couldn't make it. I am here. Check me. Try me. Yes. There are steps. You know, people think life just comes to them. You think you will just say, try me. They say, who is this one? You're not the one who sent me. I know I'm not the one who sent me. Give me ball. Yes. And that was it. So when that person is just sitting around the corner waiting, when will life come? Once an idea comes, you have to pursue it. Because those ideas don't come from the devil. Satan doesn't give you good ideas. I've not observed. He doesn't. Satan doesn't want you to do well. So when I saw that, I said, wow, that's the right heart. Yes. Whether he's a believer or not, I don't know. But when things come to your mind like that, that's how to pursue it. He said, you called my brother could not make it. I'm here. Check me. And he was a student. It was holiday period. So he just took the holiday to get there. He said, check me out. Check me. I can play. So in other words, just imagining if he didn't take that step, Nigeria would have missed one of the best talents. Africa would have missed one of the best talents to ever exist. The world generally. Because he said, he can play. They would have definitely found him. It's a lie. There are men that can play. Get to the street. Others go to the street and watch people play ball. You'll be so shocked. People can play. People can play. It's not the most skillful that eventually makes it. It is people who will act in accordance with whatever drops in their heart when the right thing drops. That's the ones that eventually make it. Some of the most skilled tech people are around me. But they just have to act on ideas that God will drop in their head. Your heart and act on it and stay there until it pays. Don't any small thing you say, chicken out. Go put that in your head. Challenge is on, put it. God be serious. Oh, things are getting better. I said, things are getting better. Someone needed to hear this, and I just said this evening, it's not in my notes at all. You need to hear it. Get up. God is putting ideas, He's putting thoughts. That's why, you know, prayer is powerful. You don't need to pray about your business for him to give you a business idea. Once you're in that zone of prayer, the Bible said it makes tremendous power available. You cannot be praying about souls. Oh, come, I get to the point. Just praying for souls. There is dropping thoughts in your head about this, about that, and then you will never be out of ideas. Say, I will never be out of ideas. I will never, never be out of ideas. If you're in a company, be that person that when they hit the rock and they don't know what to do again, once they ask you, you will say something that will work. Trust God for that. So what if I don't know what to say? Have you not read the book of Daniel? When they met Daniel, they didn't know what to say. The king was a crazy king. He said, tell me my dream. And I want to believe the king forgot the dream. He said, tell me the dream and tell me the meaning. That's crazy. That's a crazy king. Okay, tell us your dream. He said, tell me my dream. Because he knows if he tells them the dream, they can forge anything and say it's the meaning. And the king, Daniel didn't know the answer. And Daniel said, well, give us some time. Let's go and come back. Because there is a God in heaven. So, even when you don't know what to do, just know how to launch out into your spirit and draw up ideas from there. You are never without ideas. You always know what to do. Do you believe that? Let's say it like three times. Say, I always know what to do. Say it again. Say it again. That's one of the biggest blessings that you can enjoy in this lifetime. Every time, just know how to think of something and something will come up. And hello, you're not the one thinking. It's the Holy Ghost putting the thoughts. Things are getting better. Lift your hands. Let's just sing one song. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The steadfastness of the Lord never seen. Sing from your heart. Yes, Calabarandi le Cobra Day.
we're going to enjoy more of his faithfulness this evening. In Jesus' name. Let's have our seats. Do you have your notes? Hallelujah. You're already sitting up, so just smile at your neighbor. A very warm smile. Always learn to do that. That's one of the ways to keep your neighbor comfortable for sitting around you. So that it's not tomorrow that when they put him around you, you will change your seat. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I taught you, those of you that came for LMP, or if you live around that Thursday, was it? I told you that the sheep has a role to play in the feeding of other sheep. Do you remember that? So God was judging in Ezekiel 34, God was judging certain sheep because they were not helping other sheep feed. So it's not only the shepherd that has a role to play in making sure that the sheep is fed. The sheep also has a role to play. So he was talking about some sheep that when they are done eating, they will use their feet to mess up the food so that others cannot eat. So what I'm saying in essence is that as you are in this meeting now, you must ensure that your neighbor is feeding well. Say amen. You must help your neighbor get blessed in whatever way you can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So yesterday, where did we stop? I was talking about how you need to, walk in all of this. Walk in the Spirit. Walk or live the God life. We saw some deposits of the God life in us. We're looking at love, for instance, and all the deposits that love came with. Now, we have now to live that life. So we hit at a scripture yesterday. That's Galatians 5:25. It said, if we live in the Spirit, which contextually we saw that the right thing should have been, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the believer is never instructed to live in the Spirit or to be in the Spirit. He's actually instructed to walk in the Spirit because he is already in the Spirit. I get to the point. We are already in the Spirit. If you check this Romans 8 and verse 9, it makes it very clear. Verse 8 tells us that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Right? But then in verse 9 it said, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So it makes it very clear that we are in the Spirit. In other words, the life of God is working in us. You see, I've been using Spirit and life interchangeably. Have you observed? Spirit and life, because the Spirit is life. Jesus said unto them in John chapter 6, he said, the words I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. They are Spirit and they are life. So when we talk about the life of God in us, we're also talking about the Spirit of God in us. So that's why the Bible, when we read Galatians 5, he didn't call it the fruit of life. He called it the fruit of the Spirit. And it's still correct. Because the Spirit is that life that is in us. Is someone following me at all? The Spirit is that life that is in us. That life that is in us. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible said, and the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me. The Spirit entered me when he spake unto me. So it tells you that by the spoken words, the Spirit goes into people. Words are spirits. So the same way you hear the word of God, the gospel, and you receive the life of God. That's the same way you receive the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit is life. They are not two different things. Are you getting the point? That Spirit is that life of God in us. Or that life is that Spirit of God in us. So eternal life is the Spirit. Are you getting the point? And so we saw, going back to Galatians 5:25, it said, since we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. In other words, let us walk in the reality we already have. So you realize it's possible that you can have something and not walk in it. Since we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And that's the same instruction you find in Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Same flow of thoughts. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says, for you were sometimes
darkness. He said, but now are ye light in the Lord. He now said, walk as children of light. So this verse did not say we should be light. Did he say, is that what he said? What did he say? Because he said, we are already light in the Lord. So what do we now do? Walk. So it's not to become. So this believer is not instructed to become anything. We are actually to walk in what we have become. Are you getting the teaching this evening? We are never instructed to be anything. What makes you? What makes you is believing the gospel. That's what makes you to become anything. So when you came into Christ, life came into you. So you will never see the Bible say, pray for more life. No. You will never see the Bible tell the believer, have life. No. We already have life. We should not live the God life. You will never see the Bible say, tell the believer, ask for more Holy Spirit. No, people pray that prayer, but it's crazy. It's not correct. You don't ask for more Holy Spirit. When the Spirit came into you, He came into you with everything He has. But then you must learn to walk in the Spirit. You must learn to cooperate with that Spirit. You must learn to lean into that Spirit and get help from that Spirit and do the biddings of that Spirit. Are you following the point? The Bible said we are light. He didn't say we should become light. We are the light of the world. But we must now walk as children of light. We must now shine as light. So we don't need to become light. We need to shine as light. And it's a digression, but let me say, that's why there are some prayers people pray, actually, that is useless. It's just that God is merciful. So He just wants to read their heart and He sees what they're asking for and He answers them. As people pray, Father, give me life. I receive eternal life. I receive eternal life. Very stupid prayer. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, Father, make me light. Make me light in my generation. You don't need to pray that prayer. He has made you light. Do you understand? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. What followed? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. He's telling you, don't hide yourself. So this, make me a light in my season. Make me a light in my generation. God has made you light. Say, I am light. See, I've got to be a light for the eternal life brought to us. He made us light. He made us light. People say, Lord, I need more Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. No, you don't need more Holy Spirit. That's not the correct prayer. Sir, but you sing some of those songs. No, I don't. The more I know you, is the more I want to know. That's what we sing. So when you are singing, more of you, more of you, if what you are singing is more Holy Spirit, you are wrong. The song has a context. The context of the song is, the more I know you. So, more of you will be, I need more knowledge of what I have received from you and who I have become in you. So that's why we are coming to church. To know what we have. Know how to walk in what we have. And not how to have more. By tomorrow or next, we're going to open up, maybe, let me not even make any promises. Let's just be going. But as, by the time we get to 2 Peter, the Bible tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything a believer will ever need has been given to the believer. By that life of God that came into him. Everything. What we are just doing is that we are learning how to cooperate with those things. How to walk in those things. So he says, since we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Not let us ask for more Holy Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Since we have the life of God, let us live by that life. Let us live that God life. So you realize it is possible to have the Holy Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. So you realize from this part of the message, it is now man's responsibility. You are now the one that will walk in the Spirit. Do you understand that? You are now the one. God has put His life there. You are not the one to walk in it. The only thing about it is, because I was going to mention this later, but the Lord is putting it in my heart. Go to Philippians 2 verse 12. Because from now there will be a lot of instructions and we'll be giving that for like 2-3 days. And somebody even asked me a question in that light. I don't know if the person is here now, because I'm about to answer that question. But the person is not here. Can you see now? Amen. Somebody asked me a question in that light.
as he but it was like, there are many instructions that are coming, and more are still coming. How do I begin to keep all these things? Let's read together. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What did he say? Please stay here. Walk out of salvation with. So people misread this verse. When they say walk out, say, even though you are born again, you say I have to walk out your salvation. No, 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 no. Walking out your salvation is actually a Bible teaching to believers. What this verse is not saying is walk to get your salvation. That's not what he's saying. He didn't say walk to preserve your salvation. That's not what he's saying. He did not say walk for your salvation. What did he say? Walk out your salvation. You already have salvation. Walk it out. So that's very confusing. Okay, New Living Translation. So that this is your grammar class that you missed. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I am away, it is more, even more important. Work hard to do what? To show the results of your salvation. So he didn't say work to get. I get the point. So the working hard is to be able to walk in the spirit. Do you understand? The working hard is to be able to show the result. To live the God life. That's the working hard. So you are not working hard to get the God life. But you have to work hard to live the God life. But that's where I'm going to. Because people feel, this is still hard. All this love to you are teaching us is very hard. Don't love, forgive, do this. Like, it looks hard. Go back to King James. Walk into salvation. Now, Paul knows that this could be tough. He now got to verse 13. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will. Both will and to do of his good pleasure. So he's telling you, even that work you have to do, which is to walk in the spirit. Are you following me? Which is walking to live the God life. He said it is still God that will work it out in you. So it is still not something you do by your strength or by your effort. God works in you. So somewhere in this teaching, maybe tomorrow or next, I'll begin to teach you how to cooperate with the spirit of God in you. Well, that's what this is about. Because there is still a way you stretch this teaching. It will become legalism. It will still put you in bondage. I said, how do I love people? How do I forgive people? Hey, I'm bitter. Hey, I need to tolerate. It puts you under that fear. That's not what God wants. So he said, even though you have to walk in the spirit, there is still the help of the spirit to walk in the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying now? Even though you have to walk in love, there is still the help of the Holy Ghost to be able to walk in love. Which we're going to look at, maybe not, maybe tomorrow. But I just have to drop that today. Like, you don't get under the fear of, am I sure I need to walk in the spirit? If I don't walk in the spirit, my life, no. Hallelujah. So there's going to be very interesting in this place. It just came to me. I just remembered something. I'll talk about something on Sunday. Amen. So, we must walk in the spirit by the help of the spirit too. And what is the first thing we do in for us to be able to walk in the spirit? Very clearly, we saw yesterday, you have to know. You have to recognize. Right? You have to recognize the things that are yours and what God has done. So you see Paul, like we saw yesterday, kept telling the church, know ye not. Know ye not. Know ye not. So it is knowledge. And I said it's not just hearing. It's not just hearing something. It is hearing it to the point where you know it. And what is the proof that you've known it? When it begins to show in your actions. That's simple proof that you know something. You've not proven that you know something because you can recite it. Are you following me? Perfect example. You could see a mechanical engineer who goes to school and comes out. He can recite he can tell you the parts of a car, right? But when you bring a damaged car to him, he can't do anything. He doesn't know it. The proof of knowledge is that when they bring the car, you know what to do. So you have to know until you can do. That's why there is something wrong with our academic system, educational system in Nigeria. Something fundamentally wrong. We don't have people that know anything.
They just read it.
Do you understand? And
we all know how we read. We just read to pass. Just cram it and give it to them. But that's not the kind of knowledge that makes you... So it's not just enough to recite everything pastor has preached. You know, the life of God, the word is zoe. That's another word called suke. That's another word called bios. After all those things, the proof that you know is that you are doing. And that should not put you under pressure to do. That should put you under pressure to keep knowing. Because if you hear and hear to a point, you will do. Because problem, if the pressure is not to know. Sorry, the pressure is not to do. The pressure should be to keep knowing. Yes. So if you're you just finished from medical school and you cannot do basic things in medicine, you just have to keep knowing. The more you keep learning, how do you keep knowing? You now go to that's why they are beginning to attach you to hospitals. You go to a doctor, you see how the doctor is doing it. It's okay, is that it? What they do before they allow you to conduct your first surgery, apart from teaching you, they will keep you around that theater for a very long time. And you must have been in a number of surgeries before you can now attempt the first one. Because they know that they don't have to force you to do. Once you keep seeing what they're doing over time, you'll be able to do. And that's the secret. So the pressure on the believer should not be to perform. It should be to keep learning, to keep growing. So James put it this way. He said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So when you look, you keep looking. He said he will not be a forgetful hearer, but he will be a doer of the work. What makes you a doer of the work is that you keep learning. Which is why, I say it again, people who are not consistent in church cannot do the will of God. They can't walk in the spirit. People who are not consistent with reading their Bible cannot do the will of God. People who are not consistent with growing their spirit, man, it is not rocket science. There's no way you will do it. There's no way you will do it. So you have to keep learning. You have to keep learning. You can imagine this Corinthian church was a church that Paul raised. Yet they had all those terrible things in the church. And what did he do? He wrote them a letter to teach them afresh. Because whenever there is performance problem, there is a knowledge gap. Are you following me this evening? Whenever there is performance problem, there is a knowledge gap. So if I come to church now and find out that people have been training for a very long time, are acting in a certain way, I'm not going to pursue you guys. So I will just fix another training. So when Jesus died, and before he could rise in 3 days, he found out that all the people he trained for 3.5 years have gone back to fishing. They've run away. What did he do? He gathered them and taught them again for 40 days. Yes. Because where there is performance problem, there is knowledge, there's a knowledge gap. So people have to keep knowing. Keep learning. Keep learning. I mean, this love thing we are teaching, for instance, there's a way you can sit on it and learn it to a point. You don't have to struggle. It will be flowing. It will be flowing. Because it's not a struggle. It's not W-O-R-K. It's W-A-L-K. If I let me show you this. Matthew 11:28. I've not actually entered the notes for today, but I just feel the Lord push me in this direction. Because I feel that pressure that some people say, all this, how do I walk in love? This is hard though. This fruit of spirit you explain is even harder than 10 commandments. Hallelujah. That is the way. Give me Message Bible. Everybody look at this. I've taught from here a couple of times. I love it. Let's go again. Are you tired? Touch your neighbor. Are you tired? Are you tired? Ask yourself. Let's go again. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Next verse. Walk with me and... Did you see that? Is how did anybody read it? Ask him to read it to you. Walk with me. Okay. Now, he said, watch how I do it. So you notice how you'll be able to, you have to walk with him. Learn the unforced redeems of grace. Emphasis on unforced. It's unforced. Why is it unforced? It's unforced because once you keep watching how I do it, it will flow. Once you keep learning of me, it will flow. The problem is that we don't spend time enough on God's word. We don't spend time learning. And suddenly we are complaining that the word is not working in our lives. We don't, and I've taught my ministers this a lot. Sometimes they tell me, Daddy, this lady is misbehaving. But she's been around for long. And I always ask them, has she actually been around? Most times, because I've seen, sometimes she's been around for like 4 years. I say, it's a lie. Bring our records. There are people that they show up in February. They disappear in March, April. They show up again in May, June, July. They're serious. They disappear again in July, August, September, October. They show up again in December. Let me tell you, nothing is going to work. And it's not like they disappear because they have maybe they had work or something. They just disappear. They stay away from their Christian life, stay away from reading their Bible. Let me tell you, you have to stir on it. It's when you stir on it that the life will flow. That's one thing many of us didn't know when we started this journey. Well, I just, if I let it was, so we come to the program, tell us, you are saved by grace. There is no sin. He said, glory, glory. You know, I think that when you get home, you're going to be fine. This sin is waiting for you at home. We have to stay on it. You eat it. You learn it. You study it. Are you getting the point? He said, I will not lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Next verse, verse 30. Keep company with me. And you will learn to live freely and lightly. You have to keep company. I get to the point. You have to keep learning it. Everyone announced, okay, trusting the Lord. By His way, this year, right, we'll be releasing Building Jesus Devotional for 2026. Yes. How many of you ever used Building Jesus at a time? So sit down now. But the devotional is coming. We are releasing it, but now it has come to stay. It will come in every year. But let me say something. That's why I announced it. That devotional is not even supposed to replace your personal Bible study. I'm just saying, even if you use devotional, it shouldn't replace personal Bible study. That's why one of these you are inculcating this devotional, you're going to see this chapter will encourage you to go and study for the day. Because it shouldn't replace it. We are still including Bible in 1 year, that plan, in that devotional. Say amen. Because you shouldn't replace it. It's when you stay and learn the word like that. So if you don't replace it, why are you not producing it? Come on. It gives a guide. Okay, it means you get to hear from me every day. Yeah, I get to teach you the word every day. Every morning. And then it also helps you when you are in a family setting. I get to the point. It helps you know what to, you know, kind of tell your children every morning. So it gives you guys a direction for the Bible study. Many of us grew up on devotionals. Right? And it changed our lives. Whether you know it or not, it changed your life. It kind of influenced how you think today. Those things you used when you were small. It's still playing a major role in how you think. Let me give an example. Do you know why till tomorrow you believe that Adam and Eve ate apple? And no matter how much I preach, it's difficult to get that thing away from your head. You still believe it's apple. Every time you read that Genesis 3, you are seeing apple. Do you now know why? You see that yellow book? You know that yellow book, that? I don't want to see the children church. It cannot be there. It just tells you how things can stick to the mind. They will draw snake. Believe snake. You just grow up believing those things. Amen. So, do you have anything against the book? A few. You thought I would say nothing. I have a few things against the book. But my kids can't grow up on that. As I'm trusting that many of us, because some of us, that's one of the places God is going to grace you. To write children materials.
Someone already reached out to me in this church that God put that in your heart. And when it's time, we're going to release that. I get to the point. To write Christian children materials that are worded, that will communicate to the children in their own playful way, but then not some of those things we see all over the place. Because it can damage, you see, no matter what I teach, you see that particular one, it has stayed. I can't remove that apple from your head. Amen. Why is it not banana? Or ujuru. Praise God. So I'm just saying, it's good you stay on the word until it forms. So we saw it, you got to know the word. We saw Mark 4:24 from the Amplified Classic, where the Bible said it's the measure of thought and study you give to what you hear that will determine the virtue that will come back to you. So it's where you give thought and study. So the question, you heard me yesterday. What did you do when you got home? What did you do with what you heard? Did you go over your notes again? Did you listen to that message again? Did you read your Bible today? What are you doing with what you hear? When you stay on it, then you find yourself walking in it. Because the major problem is that we don't know. We don't know that we have these things. We don't know that we have these things. You know, knowledge changes many things. Yes. It even changes how you walk, how you talk. You know, there is a way the governor of a state will behave around you. And what you will say is, does this guy even know that he's a governor? Have you ever felt like that? So in other words, there is a way you naturally expect governors to behave. If we're having a function now, and the governor attends the function, right? And maybe somebody is sharing money, and he goes there to stand on the line. What's going to come to your mind? What's wrong with this? Does he even know that he's a governor? In other words, there are things you expect that knowledge of you are a governor should change. That's the same way there are certain things you do and angels are like, does this one even know who he is? Does he even know that he's the son of God? Does he even know that God's life? Does he even know? What is he doing like that? That's shocked. Me too, I'm shocked. Are you following the point? Do you even know who you are? Apart from the fact that the Bible is saying this, do you know who you are? Do you even know? Because it's not about saying, I know who I am. I know who God says I am. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is, people that sing that song don't even know who they are. Because sometimes in a press session, immediately after that, I know who God says I am. You see what this next one that is going to follow. We tell you that they don't know anything about who God said they are. The same person that sang, I know who God said, I am holy, I am righteous, I am so blessed, I'm walking in power. You not hear the next one that is going to come out. Give me an example. No, give me an English song. That one is your mind. Give me an English song. Let me sing that one. Give me an English song. One of these pitiful, beggarly kind of songs. Hallelujah. I want to live eternal life. God save. The same person that says he just knows that he's righteous, he's holy. So he's not even thinking about what he's singing. That's the problem with songs. People don't actually think about what they sing. Especially this Gen Z generation. Once the beat is flowing, that's what I'm going to say to you. In this church, you know, God spoke to me about that recently. I don't refer to my kids as Gen anything. Our children are not Gen Z, Gen Y, Gen Alpha. We're not Gen anything. They say, so what Gen are we? We are a chosen generation. Yes. I don't believe in that. God corrected me about all this Gen Z. No, we are not Gen Z. We Gen, I mean Gen, what Gen, what Gen, chosen generation. Hallelujah. So you're not Gen Alpha. What Gen did they put you? You know, we must learn to stop referring to ourselves by what the world created.
As I see some Christians saying, I'm Cancer, I'm Capricorn, I say, who gave birth to? Who trained these ones? I'm Leo. Leopard. You are Cancer. And they try to predict their life by all those things. I'm ministering deliverance to you now. You are not any of those things, sir. You've not finished agreeing that you are righteous, or that you are holy, and that you are sanctified, that you are a new man in Christ, that the life of God is working in you, and you are Cancer. I'm not any of those things. I've told you I'm not sanguine, I'm not choleric, I'm not phlegmatic, I'm not melancholy. I have the life of God in me. I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. I'm the light of the world. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I carry the life of God in me. So if they say, oh, phlegmatic, they don't always smile. As I smile, let me tell you, what controls my temperament or my feeling is what the word says. So if they're teaching us, if it is time to get sober, I get sober. Not because I'm a phlegmatic. If it is time to laugh, I laugh. Not because I'm a sanguine. I don't believe in all of those things. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Don't yield to temperament. Don't yield to, what do they call that? All those Cancer, Capricorn, whatever. Huh? Zodiac signs. Don't yield to those things. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Thank God you don't know. Which one did they tell you you were before? That is Scorpio. Taurus. No. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So somebody sat down in his room and made up his mind that people born in May behave this way. People born in June. And you agreed. And you agreed. He says, but I'm seeing some of the signs in my life. When will you start seeing some of the signs of chosen generation in your life? Royal priesthood. Holy nation. Righteousness of God. I'm not any of those things. So our kids are not Gen Z. They are not Gen anything. Don't give birth to a Gen Z. No. Bible tells our children are thoughts of the Lord. They are thoughts of the Lord. Exalted kids are thoughts of the Lord. They are not in any generation except chosen generation. Yes. We are thoughts of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said your sons and daughters shall be for signs and for wonders. Yes. He said the seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. That doesn't sound like Gen Z to me. That sounds like chosen generation to me. And that's who we are. That's where we stand. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Henceforth, knowing no man after the flesh. Knowing no man after the flesh. Knowing no man after the flesh. Glory to God. Touch yourself. I don't know myself after the flesh. I am what the world says I am. I have what the world says I have. I can do what the world says I can do. Shout amen, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you need to take that as a correction. Don't call yourself all those. You're not a Gen Z. Say amen. You're not Gen Alpha. You're not millennial. I'm not all those things. So what gen was Adam? What gen was Paul? We are going Gen Alpha. Gen, we're going to be generator very soon. Because that's where we are going. Gen Y, Gen Z, generator. So what do we call children that were born 30 years time? Because the way this is going, and it looks like they try to make every generation look worse. I'm going to raise my kids, and you're going to raise your kids, telling them that it is the word that decides what they are, and not what the world has said concerning them. And that's how you got to see yourself. I get to the point. You got to see yourself that way. I'm a righteous man in Christ Jesus.
It's from knowing. You've got to know. You have to know. So we read that 1 John 5 verse 13. I said, these things write unto you that you may know. So these things preach I unto you that you may know. That you may know. Thank God for light. Have your seat, have your seat. So the next after knowing, Romans 6 verse 11. After you know, glory to God. So we're getting into today gradually. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Even if I don't get into today and I close now, you've been blessed. And that's the truth. That's the word of God. I can preach a particular thing to you 10 times. You'll be blessed 10 times. It's not just me. Any good teacher should be able to, because it's the Holy Ghost that inspires those things. Now, he now says, likewise, reckon you. I'm going to look at that word reckon very shortly. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead to sin. So, the first thing is to know. The next thing is to reckon. Yes, let's use that word reckon. It's old English, but we're going to use it. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead and indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, first is to know that you have the life of God. Know that love is working in you. Know that righteousness. Know that all those things are alive in you. Know it. Then it says, reckon yourself. That word reckon is an interesting word in the Greek. It's the Greek word logizomai. L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Logizomai. It means, you see why I gave you the word? It means to account, to estimate. Let me explain it to you. It's just like to record. Okay, 10 people wrote exam. I'll just use that. It's an accounting term. 10 people wrote exam, and then we calculate all their scores. This one got 50, this one got 70, and I give you, I said, oh yeah, record these things to each person's name. So don't manipulate any figure. What the person is, impute it. That's what reckon. So he's saying, since you are all of these things, begin to now see yourself, consider yourself like that. So if you read NLT, NLT said, consider yourselves to be dead. Consider yourself. So why I have to take you through the Greek is not pretend that you are dead to sin. Pretend that you have love in you. It is not act like you have love in you. It is you have it. Now begin to see yourself like that. Not because you are trying to have it, but because you have it. I follow in the, that's what Paul used there. Record. It's not to pretend. It's not to assume. I'm not saying that if you go, begin to assume and say, I have life. Mm-mm, that's an assumption. I'm just saying, if you live here, start assuming I'm patient. Because somebody's telling me, Sabot, I'm not really patient. So if I start seeing myself as I'm patient, that's pretense. No, you are still looking at yourself in the flesh. We are looking at what God put inside of you. Have you been here from the first day? What God put inside of you. So you, Paul is saying, begin to look at yourself from the perspective of what God put inside of you. Not from the perspective of what you are doing on the outside. Begin to consider yourself. So the man that is smoking should now consider himself dead to the power of smoking. Not because he wants to, but because that is who he is. Do you understand it? Now this is where it gets very interesting. Because one of the greatest things the devil wants to do to you is to make you doubt things that are true about you. If you understand what I'm going to show you tonight, it's going to change your life. Satan wants you to doubt divine facts about yourself. And, you know, oh, my little karadiash kuda vetansko brandika vetiangro batea. Satan wants you to doubt who you are and to doubt what you have. And let me say something else. He wants you to doubt who you are and what you have and to keep you seeking for and searching for what you already have. So many Christians are looking for how to be righteous. That is the job of the devil. He wants to keep them looking for how to be righteous. And you know why? Once they keep looking for it, let me tell you what it means to look for. Lord, I want to be righteous. By that, I want to be righteous. I'll tell you what you've said. First of all, you've agreed that you are not. I feel what I'm saying. I want to be righteous. You've agreed that you are not. So you are now looking for how to be. The Bible said, consider yourselves. Give me like, maybe give me passion. Look for the Passion Translation. It didn't say, when you get there, start pretending like you are.
He didn't say wish that you are. He didn't say keep saying that you are until you become. No. Well, that's what motivational speakers teach. When you wake up in the morning, even though you are tired, say, I'm strong. I'm strong. That's motivation. So what they tell you is that when you keep saying it, it will eventually become true. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that it is true. Say it because it is true. Don't say it to become. Are you following what I'm talking about? So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal. So because it has happened, view yourself like that. Not so that it will happen. Are you following me now? So when we say I'm full of love, it's not when you keep saying it that you will not become full of love. You are saying it because you are. Let me show you something. Do you remember the temptation of Jesus? Do you remember? He was tempted 3 times by the devil. That is one we saw recorded. The first one was to turn stone to bread. The second one was to, which one? I don't know why you say it's correct now. Because that is a Matthew's account. That is Matthew and there is Luke account. So the one put first one, second one as third. I don't want to put it on a second. So the second one is to jump down, Abby, and to jump down, he has given his angels charge over you to catch you. The third one is that he took him up a high mountain and showed him everything and said, bow down, worship me. So, first temptation, he wanted Jesus to turn stone to bread. So Jesus was to start looking for bread. Second temptation, he was promising Jesus angelic protection. Third temptation, he was promising Jesus the kingdoms of this world. These 3 things he was promising Jesus belonged to him. First, he said, I am the bread of life. So you're asking bread of life to turn stone to bread. Are you following what I'm talking about? You are telling a man that told us that if he coughs, he can bring 12 legions of angels here. You are telling him to jump down so that the angels will catch him. You are telling a man that created the whole world. We sang it now a few minutes ago. The choir sang it. Jesus made everything. And you are asking him that when you bow down, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. You know what you're trying to do to Jesus? You have these things. I want to bring you to a point where you forget that you have them. So you begin to seek them. Same game he played on Adam. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Satan came. If you eat this fruit, you will be in God's image. He makes you doubt what God has given. So that you start looking for it. Because once, that's why the first thing we looked at is to know. Because once you doubt that you have, you're already defeated by like 70%. You see why knowledge is very important. That's the same game. So Paul said, consider yourselves dead. So this is the game. He wants you to doubt what you have. He wants you to believe that you cannot do it. He wants you to believe that you don't have love inside of you. He wants you to believe that you... So you see believers say, I'm just a very bitter person. I'm just someone that... I don't know this forgiveness. I don't know how to forgive people. Me, self, I do quick verse. He's bringing you to a point where you begin to see yourself in a certain light. I guess what I'm saying. That's why the teaching is reckon, begin to see yourself like you are dead to sin. Not so that you become dead, but because that's who you are. Because listen, whether you are that in or not, if you don't see yourself like that, it will never become a reality in your life. So you see many believers walking up and down, looking for what is not lost. It's a wild goose chase. You know why it's wild goose chase? You are pursuing what is with you. Imagine you keep your phone. It happens to some of us. You keep your phone at home. And maybe you forgot it at home. And then you get to church. And say, they've stolen my phone. Now, we are combing everywhere. We are combing everywhere. Looking for what you left in your house. So, we will definitely not find anything. Because what you are looking for is not lost. Now, this is... oh my head to like Romans 10 verse 1. That's why you see Paul. Give me NLT because of our time. Look at this. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God. So Israel, they were passionate. They are zealous. There are a lot of zealous people. But look at the problem. Paul said it is misdirected zeal. Why is it misdirected zeal? Verse 3. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. So they are looking for what they think they don't have. God says there is a way. Just believe in Jesus. You become righteous. They are looking for many ways. They are gathering 10 commandments. That so something tells them you are inadequate. You are not good. So they are looking for how to be good. So look at verse 4. Verse 4 gives us the answer. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. So Israel doesn't know this. So there are many believers that don't know this. They've been made right with God. They've accepted Jesus, but are still looking for what is not lost. So you want to be able to walk in the Spirit. You have to first know that you have it. Then begin to see yourself like that. Never see yourself how God did not make you. Let me add this. Even at that season, when you are not the best in character, even as you are trying to get better, make sure you don't stop seeing yourself as God has made you. Because it is seeing yourself as God has made you that will not make you act right. Do you know why? Let me tell you. Why is there an increase? I'm telling you a very simple, big secret. Why is there an increased rate of people that become homosexuals in the U.S.? But we don't have that number increasing in Nigeria. That is a lie that was told to United States people. That, imagine somebody that tell you, they can look at you and tell you, you are a man locked up in a woman's body. The person grows believing that rubbish. They are told from when they were young that when they give birth to you, that the gender you have is not actually the gender that you are supposed to. That is when you now grow, you can choose your gender. That simple lie. If the average Nigerian here, a man, sees a fellow man, I'm touching him. Watch what I'm going to show you. In his head, he knows I'm a man. Papa, leave me now. He knows that knowledge. If the American sees a man touching, he said, maybe I might be a woman locked up in a man's body. So that knowledge alone will make him to begin to consider that lifestyle the more. Nobody here or hearing me is anybody locked up in anybody's body. How can you be a man locked up in a woman's body? Yes, but it's how I feel. It's a feeling. You're not a human feeling. You're a human being. So be who you are, not who you feel. But you see, that's the game the devil plays. So it begins to make you feel, you know, you are not all those things. So you see a believer looking for how he begins to say, me, this smoking thing is in our blood. That's the lie. But once he believes it, he can never break out because he has accepted that who he is. That's why I was teaching here recently. I told you the Bible did not say that the truth will set you free. You remember that teaching? That's what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say you shall. The Bible didn't even say you shall say the truth is set you free. It said you shall know the truth. What will the truth do? It will make you free. It makes you a new person. That truth is the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. It makes you a new person. It doesn't just release you from bondage, because if you release you from bondage, you can come into bondage again. The truth makes you free. It turns you into a personality that is defined as free. From that point of knowing that you are now free, if you now notice any bondage in your life, you can now fight it knowing that you are free. So it starts with knowledge. Then you begin to see yourself like that. Hallelujah. So you are not a dead man trying to be alive. You are someone that is alive, learning how to walk in the life that you have. I said again, you're not a dead man trying to be alive. You are a being carrying the God life, learning how to walk in it. So when I teach you to walk in love, it is not because you don't have love. You are not someone that lacks love, that is trying to get love. You are someone that has love, learning how to walk in love. Oh, are you following me this evening? You are not a lifeless, you're not an addicted person trying to break free. You are a man, a righteous man in Christ, learning to walk in your righteousness. So every day you are instructed from God's word. It is not God trying to make you something. You already what he wants to make you. He is just teaching you how to walk in what he has made you. Are you following me this evening? That's who you are. So begin to see yourself like that. Begin to see yourself like that. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see? You know, people think, let me tell you, I'm not just preaching, I'm not preaching theory. I'm not preaching theory. You know, some of you have read, you've read my book, Race of Facts, right? Have you read Race of Facts? You know, in chapter 2 of that Race of Facts, that's a story I told there. A young girl we call Jenny. Do you remember? It's not this Jenny Fowl. Her name is not even Jenny. We just called her Jenny because of that book. Now, I read that book recently. That's chapter 2, the chapter on forgiveness. That girl had been, before I met her, well, she was someone that was actually talk of molested as a baby, as a child. And she grew up with that mindset. First of all, she was molested, so she grew up hating men. So she was actually into women, into ladies. As a small girl, 9 years, 10 years. So around 14 years or so, she got born again. But the thing continued. She got born again. She was even moving from one leadership position to another. She was prayer secretary. She was even one time a president of a fellowship. All these school stuffs. But the thing was still there. From being into women, she now entered men. So she was doing men and women. She was a believer. But she was heavily under the law. You know the law. So every time she was answering altar call, repenting, rededicating, promising God, going back, fasting, barbing her hair, paying tithes, nothing. I get to the point. If one of the stories she told me, but she didn't even present it well in her story. Because she met one guy, and the guy told her directly, I'm going to coach you on how to be a sex expert. And the guy did. Coached her. They were practicing. We give her a book to read. They would practice. A believer. So, she got to meet me, and she was a very open person. At least to me. Every time I ask her, she would tell me, yes. This, that. I said, I'm trying. I did try. So, I started preaching all this, my gospel. I will tell you how. She liked what I was preaching. No, you never doubted it. But she just liked it. At least it was giving her hope that God likes her. You know, that's the first thing the gospel does to you. It begins to give you hope. At least God never threw me away. But I told her, I said, what this message is meant to do is beyond hope. It's not just hope that God accepts you so I cannot continue. This wants to change you. So when she was about, it was one birthday, I think it was 23rd birthday or so. So she came around and I said, I'm going to tell you to do something. She said, what? I said, I'm going to ask you to give me some time. All the messages and books and even church used to go to them. I wasn't a pastor then. Okay, I was a pastor, but my church was not in her location. I said, this is strange, but I'm going to ask you to do it. She said, tell me, stop going to church. Now, this is a strange instruction. Now, you know, I'm for the church, right? But she was going to a place where they were, stoned. Yeah, they were stoning her every day. Yeah, all right. So she just comes back, trying to do better. And you know, once you try to do better for some time, you just give up and start doing your thing. Everybody should go and die. So that's where she was at the time. Because she had got to the end of the road. I said, stop going to church.
But I'm going to give you a series of books. It is for a season. Series of books, tapes, they are going to be on. She said, fine. She told me plainly that she does not believe it will work. But then, there is nothing to lose because she has done every other thing they've told her. So, this should just be another experience. So, I just gave her. So, she began to eat them. She began to eat them. I wish I had that book. I would have read that too. She began to eat them. She will read. She will study. She will listen. She will cry. You know, the excitement that comes. When you stay on it, it began to change her perception of herself. They are not that sex addict. You are not that girl that cannot help herself. There is something God has done to you. Are you getting the point? The height of this transformation was Dogs at 2016. How many of you was that meeting? The team was Jesus. That was when I taught history and redemption. There are many people here. That was the meeting that broke and shattered their lives. 4 days. If you have a young person, now this is just me. You have a young person, or you are young yourself. Any day you hear Dugza is happening, run to that place. Don't be going and going, go up there and camp. Your life will change. But that was it. She just stayed there. Those 4 days. She just wrote to me after them and said, sir, Jesus happened. The urge disappeared. The whole craving died. In fact, it became so bad. Let me tell you what happened. That guy that was teaching her all those things even became born again. Not by her hands. She just prayed for the guy and shifted. That guy got saved. Yes. I mean, a minister today. I'm not saying God can change you. The gospel can. It doesn't come to romance your ego. It comes to change you totally. So you must begin to align with that. Begin to see yourself the same way God sees you. I'm sure if she's following this teaching now, she will even be wondering how she was all those things. Because it's been how many years now? Everything gone. No desire for a man or for a woman except the husband. Yeah, because she's married. Yes. Amen. God can transform. He can change you. But how do you see yourself? Like that sinner that can never be helped. Like that one that always struggles. Like that guy that whenever a girl comes around, your body begins to shake. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Look at how God explained dead to sin to me. You know, I told you from 20, the life of God took away spiritual death. Do you remember? So, you are now dead to spiritual death. So, if someone is dead here, and you bring fried rice, he will not shake. Bring, that's something that wake up. There are some I know that if they die, just bring rice. They wake up. But that's not serious death. Bring anything. Give me like, go back to that. Go to Passion Translation again, sorry. You see what Passion said? Passion said, that's the way you begin to see yourself. Now, somebody's going to say, if I see myself like that, I will be telling lies. Mm-mm. See yourself like that. Because there's an extreme to this teaching. Because, you know, we used to preach death to sin. One guy took it to the extreme. Well, let's read this. So let it be the same way with you. Let's go. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the anointed one. So see yourself as dead. The dead man is unresponsive to sin's appeal. One guy took it to the extreme. He now said, that means as a guy, if you enter a room with a woman, since I'm a dead man, dead to sin, my body will not respond. I say, it is your spirit that is dead to sin, not your body. I say, if you are really dead to sin, you should avoid the room. You should even avoid the urge to enter the room. Are you following me? You are not a dead man in sin. You are dead to sin. Spiritual death is to die in sin. Eternal life is to die to sin. You have died to sin. Sin has lost its power over you. So you must see yourself that way. And let me just briefly run through this with the short time we have. Tomorrow I'll continue with it. So in other words, you have to be aware. You have to be aware. You have to stay conscious of the fact that this is who you are now. One of the ways to do that, I can tell you, is to pray in the Spirit a lot. I'll give you like three things. Tomorrow I'll expand on it. Pray in the Spirit a lot. When you pray in the Holy Ghost a lot, it keeps you aware. It keeps you conscious of this, your new nature. Because the problem is that it's not that I'm teaching it. I'm teaching it now, and you are believing it now, and you even see yourself like that now. But you're going to leave this place. You're going to be out there. You're going to face real life issues. How do I keep seeing myself like that when I'm out there? I'm showing you how. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Jude verse 20 tells us, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What else does praying in the Holy Ghost do to you? Verse 21. It says, keep yourself. Keep verse 21. That's the next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. One of the things that keeps you conscious of the love of God towards you and what He has done to you is to pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. And it's not just that I'm preaching. You've observed. When you pray, if there's a season in your life where you pray in tongues a lot, you are more aware and conscious of your spiritual man than you are of the natural. Pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Too much. Wake up in the morning, pray. Wake up, pray in the Holy Ghost though. It keeps you, because it's something that wakes up all your spiritual faculties. Prayer does a lot. So, as Paul was teaching the Ephesian church about who they are in Christ, he still wrote to them and said, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of him in my prayers every day. Because prayer, when you are learning the word and you are not praying, you are not actually laying hold of the help of the Spirit. Because I showed you that you also need the help of the Spirit to be able to carry out all these things. When you are hearing all these things, I'm righteous, I'm not praying. You're not letting, it's the way you pray. If I let me tell you two more things that prayer will do for you. When you pray, you draw from the help of the Spirit. Number two, when you pray, you get more insight and revelation on what I'm saying. Yes, so pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Wake up, pray a lot. 1 hour, 2 hours. Pray. Pray. In fact, there are many people I'm talking to now. The majority you are struggling in your with your conduct is that you don't pray in the Holy Ghost enough. You've heard too much. You just don't pray. So you are not actually laying hold of the source of strength. Because that strength is inside of you. One of the ways you lean on it is to pray and draw from it. So, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? How do you keep yourself aware of the love of God? How do you keep yourself conscious of the love of God? Pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. How many of you have observed that there are times in your life you know about the love of God, but when people annoy you, it's when you finish giving them dirty slap that you remember that, oh, I have the love of God in me. Does it happen to you? Yes. You want to stay more conscious. Pray in the Spirit a lot. So it's when you're giving the person in Glasgow, say your father, your grandfather, in fact, your whole generation, is when you are done. As you are walking out of that place, storming out. Now I begin to hear your pastor's voice. You are full of love. You say, ah, why didn't I hear it when the situation was hot? Pray in the Spirit a lot. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Now, do you now see one reason why we organize things like prayer drive? It is not just because of those prayer points you are praying. It's because we want to keep you praying in the Holy Ghost for a very long time. While meeting those prayer points, we want to keep you praying for 6 hours. We want to keep you praying. That's why meetings like this, like tomorrow is Saturday night, you have to be here on time. So you join the opening prayer, join intercession, join all those things. That's why I'm saying it. You see this period of these 30 days, your conduct will improve dramatically. Drastically, rather. You know why? If you're joining everything we are doing, you will have started noticing that there are some things that you don't even have appetite for again.
He said, how do you know? Think. There are some sins you are committing 2 weeks ago. There's not even crossing your mind now to do. You are spending time in prayer. Imagine you carry on like that all your life. It kills the appetite. How does it do it? It keeps you aware. That's the only thing. It keeps you aware. It keeps you in the love of God. It keeps you in the love of God. Second thing I'm going to say. Practice meditation. Practice meditation. We saw it yesterday. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. He said that thou mayest be able to observe. So how to be able to do the word is to meditate on the word. A word you do not stay on and meditate on, you cannot do. The strength to do the word is in when you keep that word in your heart for long. So can you prove it? Many, many times. Many, many ways I can show you. Psalm 119 verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. So it is when you hide the word of God in your heart. So how do I do that? Meditation. Meditation. That's not about meditation. How do you meditate? I think I showed you yesterday. That word meditate is the Hebrew word haggah. That's the same way, the same place, that's the same word for murmur. When you see in the Old Testament that they murmured, that's the same word for meditate. So when Joshua was told, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, thou shalt meditate on it. How it happens is that thou shalt murmur on it day and night. So murmuring is not bad. It depends on what you are murmuring. Some are murmuring against God. I don't know why my life is like this. Somebody will be serving God. Somebody will be passing through hell. That's the wrong. You're using the right thing for the wrong reason. I think I'm serving God. I think I should be. You're not playing with murmuring. You're not talking to anybody. You're talking. So you are the audience of the conversation in murmuring. So you are the speaker. You are the hearer. Love, somebody's life will just be a mess. And people will just be passing through a lot. I don't know when this is going to end. It's fine. I'll just be going. She said, you come to church. You're talking to yourself. Imagine that's what you do with the word of God. While you lie down on your bed before you sleep, you are turning it in your heart. Start the murmuring in your heart. You know, every murmuring starts from the heart. Are you people following what I'm talking about? Where does murmuring start? Heart. I'm using murmuring because that's what you relate with more. Is that if I annoy you, where is that murmuring first? In your heart. You know you murmured your heart so much, this thing has dropped from your mouth. Are you saying anything? No, sir. I'm actually going. Start murmuring the word tonight as you get to bed. Lie down there. Oh, just turning it. Just begin to think about it. That's what I said. So I have the life of. So it means that now, this is working in me. Stay on the word like that. Until you begin to say it out small, small. You're not talking to anybody. You are the audience. It can change your life. How did Paul put it? Philippians 4 verse 8. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things. He said, after he listed all of those, he said, think on this. Let's read together, everybody. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. So when you get to bed, don't think about what somebody said to you that is paining you. That's even how you find it hard to forgive. Don't think of how nothing worked today. Because when you begin to think about how this today was a mess, what follows next? Tears. You now say, I cried myself to sleep last night. What were you thinking about? Whatsoever things appear. Can we put God's word on our mind? I tell you people, and I say it boldly. My people that are close to me, they partner, they can tell you. Meditation is my most practiced spiritual exercise. I pray, but you see this one, my most practiced. because I can do it anytime. I can do it while driving. I can do it while I'm talking to you. I get to the point. I can do it while I'm just sitting down. So as I do it, I've just finished for the day and I lie down and I sleep off from there. Deliberately. Most times when you do it, you wake up with some kind of inspiration. Keep the word in your heart. Psalm 119 verse 148. Same thoughts. Psalm 119 verse 148. We'll look at this stronger tomorrow. Verse 148. He said, my eyes prevent the night watches. I just explained to you now. And I might be that on that word. Give me like NLT. What does he mean by that? I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. This is how David lives. This is how Christians live their lives. Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. My eyes anticipate the night watches, and I'm awake before the cry of the watchman, that I may meditate on your word. So you see the Christian, you just see him, he will be calm. You know the thing about meditation, whether I teach you this or not, at every time you are meditating on something, your mind is never idle. I'm now teaching you to be deliberate what you do with it. Because whether you agree with this teaching or not, your mind is never idle. So people, as I'm even teaching that I'm meditating on the soup they will cook at home. Yes, actually. You know, when we were younger, I remember those days, they can be preaching in church. If it gets boring, I can add a full action film in my mind. I ever done it? A full action film from beginning to end, where I'm the actor. I won't die, I'm the actor. So I manage actor way bia. We dodge. Now, probably they're looking at the person preaching. He works in class too. They're teaching in class. You're doing your thing. Some ladies cook 5 meals in church. China and Pepe. I became too much and I serve it on the dining and are now eating meditation. So whether you agree with this teaching or not, you are meditating on something even as I'm talking. So it's not something that what the Bible is teaching, that you now have to be deliberate, because whether you put something there or not, something will be there. I get to the point. Put the word of God. What is the secret of the psalmist again? Psalm 1 verse 1. Talking about the blessed man. The blessed man. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the seat in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. How does he show that he delights in the law of the Lord? He meditates on it day and night. Let me show you this. How not? See, what started verse 2 is but. Abi? So it is a contrast to verse 1. So, how not to do verse 1? How not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? How not to stand in the word of sinners? How not to sit in the seat of the scornful? Is to put God's word in your heart and meditate on it day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Turn it over. Meditation actually means to ponder until you mutter. Until you roar. I take it again. It means to ponder until you mutter, until then you roar. So it starts by you just thinking about something. You know, that's how people actually, you know, let me give an example. If someone offends you and you want to pretend like you're not angry, you know where it starts from? You keep the anger in your heart. You keep it in your heart for long. You're not talking to anybody. Imagine if you're smiling at that person initially. Just smiling, but the thing is still pain in your heart. You ponder on it to a point. You're not going to mutter to your moment to yourself after some days. Then how somebody can just be so wicked. People are just so wicked. He doesn't even care that he did anything. See how he's just walking. Like everybody just think that he's fine, but people don't know that that is heart. It's wicked. Where are you now? You are muttering. It will get to a point, you will tell him face to face. So let me even tell you, I know they fear you. It came from pondering to muttering, then you roared. That's how to do it. Put the word of God, turn it over in your heart, murmur it, then shout it. Tomorrow we'll get to confessing the word. Tomorrow we'll talk about it.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.